Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Jumping Monkeys would like to thank CashFly for the bandwidth for this podcast. CACHEFLY.com. CashFly. This is Jumping Monkeys with Megan Maroney and Leo Laporte. Episode 12 for August 25th, 2007. Mike Adamick. Jumping Monkeys is proudly brought to you by Audible.com for your free audiobook. Some great kids' books, too. Visit Audible.com/monkeys. Jumping Monkeys, episode 12. We've got a dozen of them under our belt.
Yeah, well, not yet. This one hasn't finished yet.
Well, almost a dozen. We're on our dozenth. Megan Maroney, hello.
Hello, Leo Laporte. How are you?
I'm very well. I look forward to doing this now because I'm learning so much about parenting now that my kids are almost out the door.
You're going to be a great grandpa.
Isn't that true, though? I think that's one of the reasons people want to be grandparents. I'm realizing now is because they feel like it's a second chance to do it right.
Mm-hmm. I definitely think that.
Because by the time your kids are teenagers, you realize you screwed it up.
Right, yeah.
You try so hard to do it right. And there's stages. So when you're, especially the first kid for the first 6 months, just tell me if this was your experience.
Okay.
You want to do everything perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Then you realize you cannot. And then you kind of go, oh, I give up. And then you kind of come up with something like, this is what my formulation, as long as they're loved, it's okay if they have a poopy diaper for an extra hour.
Exactly.
But they'll know they're loved.
Yes. That I totally agree with that. Yeah. That's sort of the first child, second child thing,
right,
too. Yeah. We've discussed
that. And then you get to the stage where you go, well, at least I'll have something to tell their therapist when they grow up.
Now, you have a very healthy relationship with your teenage kids. I mean, they ignore you. That's healthy. If they didn't, that's weird. And I love the way that Abby gives you a hard time. She was in here the other day, and she was just totally calling you a nerd. Dad, you're such a nerd. You're such a nerd.
I don't mind her so much. It's Henry is like actually physically abusing me, elder abuse.
Really?
Yeah. Beats
well,
me up.
Well, what she said was funny, because then she was talking about the iPhone, and I was like, are you going to get an iPhone? And she said, no. I think I'm going to wait for the third generation.
Isn't she funny?
And I was like, you're just calling your dad a nerd. You're a nerd, third generation.
Guess what?
But I'm allowed to call her names and you're not. That's
an unfortunate thing.
Yeah.
No, she's come through it. She's like coming out the other end now.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll come back, come and go. But she's 15 and she seems like... She never went through the daddy's little girl stage. I keep waiting for that. Maybe I won't get that with her. But she's at least civil and polite.
Yeah.
And now Henry's going through. And I think 13 was tough for Abby, too. He's going through that.
Now he's really physically abusing you?
Well, he tries to.
Okay.
I have a longer reach and I outweigh him by about 4 stones, so I'm okay.
Yeah, see, that's not a comfort to me. Because my only comfort, you know, because my boys are in, they're out, they're sort of, the biting stage is waning, but they are in the hitting stage. And my only comfort is that I know that your kids were biters and hitters.
Right.
And I'll say, well, they're not anymore, but maybe they still are.
He likes to box.
Oh, okay.
Stuff like that. Wrestle.
Fun.
Wrestle.
Okay.
And dad's a little old for that.
Okay, we don't need to call Parent Protective Services
or anything for you.
All right. Okay,
not,
good.
He hasn't yet, you know, I think he knows where to draw the line. And the truth is, it's kind of his way of being affectionate, I think.
Right.
And it's a safe way for him to be affectionate. So
that's exactly the way I feel about Huck. He hits, he's a lot.
He's only two.
Right. But he hits because he wants attention and because he loves. Yes,
he hits because he loves. Yeah. All right. We got a great guest coming up. Mike Adamick. What do we know about Mike Adamick?
He writes for the San Francisco Chronicle, and he also does segments on NPR and MSNBC, and he writes for Babbel. And he is he's a stay-at-home dad. We talked about his website last month, I think, Cry It Out, Memoirs of a Stay-at-Home Dad. He sews his daughter's clothes.
Another parent that's better than me.
Yes, that's what we should call this show. Another parent who's better than you.
They're all better than you.
So yeah, I'm really excited to talk to him a little bit
later
in the show.
That's why I'm on the show. I'm here to make everybody feel better about their parenting.
That's not true.
I'm simultaneously overly strict and overly lenient at the same time.
Yeah, well, that's an accomplishment.
I'll say, go ahead. You can watch Porky's 4, but you've got to be in bed by 8.
Yeah.
So I'm really bad that way.
Yeah.
I really am. I can't find that happy medium there.
Yeah.
So Mike's coming up in a bit. Before we do that, though, we should get some links on.
Yeah, we should do the Spend, Save, Give segment. The Spend segment. This is every show we do. One way you can spend your money, one way you can save your money, and one way you can give back to your community and beyond. So the Spend, these are called My Little Learner DVD flashcards, and they were created by listeners of our show.
Oh,
Daniel Crane and Suzanne Crane.
Hi, Daniel. Hi, Suzanne.
Yeah, they're former fans of Tech TV too. And he just came up with these as a way to just he couldn't find the flashcards that he wanted, so he decided.
I make my own flashcards too. I know what he means.
Yeah, he made them using just different programs on his computer, and then he liked them so much, and people that he knew liked them, so they decided to sell them. So now they're a business, and
that's neat. $15 for the DVD.
Yeah, you can watch, it's just like a picture, and then the words come across the screen.
Neat.
So it's a picture of a cat, and then you can watch little samples.
I would just print them on pieces of paper and cut them out. So he's actually gone multimedia.
Yes, they're DVD flashcards.
Should we do car?
Yeah.
This is car.
C. A.
A.
R.
R. Car?
Car!
A little car comes out. Well, you know what? This is just like Sesame Street.
Yeah, it is. But they made them themselves. So
or Electric Company. What is the show that this is just like?
Sesame Street does that, yeah. But okay. He's gotten input from teachers and other people about the music and the font even, you know, just ways that can help you learn. And he recommends, you know, you look at these with your kids. You don't just sit them in front of them and, you know, go take a shower or something. You want to do pie this time or B?
You like B? Here's B.
B. E. E.
What's that spell? Impervious.
B.
Oh, B, yes.
Impervious.
Impervious.
Is that the word you lost on the sixth grade spelling bee? Impervious?
You could tell. I'm still kind of...
Impervious.
Impervious.
Yeah, so I thought that they were really cool. Like, he didn't find exactly what he needed, so he just created it on his own, and they created Daniel.
I like that.
Yeah.
Good luck to them, and $15, and I think this is just really cool.
Yeah. So here's the save segment. Have you heard of the site IKEA Hacker?
No, IKEA Hacker.
You can't
hack IKEA, can you?
It's basically hacking the furniture to make it. You know, because the thing about, I love IKEA, but then it's like, you know, we have a big IKEA coffee table and people come in, oh yeah, you got that at IKEA. And it's like, yes.
Everybody's looked as the same.
We're like everybody else. So this is just taking sort of, you know, low cost furniture and hacking it to be more original, and they have a nursery section, IKEA Hacker for children, not for children's rooms, really, not for children.
This is very creative.
Yeah, it's a lot of really cool stuff, and you know, and cheaper than, because there's a lot of mod nursery furniture now. You go out and I mean, on the web you can find so much stuff, but it's like, you know, you're still gonna have to pay for college, so it's not necessarily the best idea, depending on your income. It's not the best idea for me to spend, you know, $5,000 on really cool bunk beds.
Oh, look at this wiener bench.
I knew you'd love the wiener bench.
I love that.
It's you go ahead and describe it.
It's from Etsy.com, and Jackrabbit made it. And it's got wheels on it, so you can scoot around the house. And the 369 wieners that you sit on were crocheted from donated sweaters.
They look like little pink hot dogs.
And then it uses an IKEA side table as the base, covered with old t-shirts and attached with wheels from an old filing cabinet.
Yeah, so your kid could just sit on it and roll around on the floor.
My mom, who's a textile artist, when I was a kid, made something we called the fire bed. And it was hand-woven about, I think it was, you know, maybe a 10-meter long worm. It was a really long, couldn't have been that long, maybe 5-meter long worm. It was really long. That was a shag fire on the top and then just kind of regular weave on the bottom. And you could wrap it up or curve it up and get it, made it be like a beanbag chair. It was so cool. I had it in my room the whole time growing up. And it was kind of like this wiener bench. It was kind of, it just was unusual.
Yeah. Yeah. So
but you grow
cool
to
thing.
Love it.
Yeah.
I lived in that fire bed. I mean, it was so great.
Yeah.
This is, I like this site.
I really like it. Yeah.
IKEA
and they don't,
Hacker.
Yeah, they have sections that aren't just for kids too. But IKEA Hacker, it's ikeahacker.blogspot.com. And then you can get to the children's section from the front page.
This is really great. And you know, you don't have to have super skills.
No,
to do
no.
This. Yeah.
All right, now it's time for the give segment.
Give me money. No, that's not what it means.
No. This is a really cool site, momsrising.org. I'm sure a lot of our listeners have already heard of this. And I wanted to mention it because Joan Blades, who started Moms Rising, we're going to interview her in a couple of weeks. She and her husband also started Berkeley Systems, and she's been around.
I know Joan. Yeah. I remember from Berkeley Systems from ages ago. She started MoveOn.org.
Right, yeah. And then Moms Rising, which is just work specifically for family-friendly political policies and, you know, increasing family leave and, you know, more health care.
Right,
all
on.
Kinds of, and they've been really active in trying to get the government to be more accountable about all the lead that's been recently found in children's toys. Like
we talked about that last a couple of weeks
just
ago.
Just a lot of really interesting projects that are near and dear to my heart and also lots of parents' hearts. So this is The Power of the Onesie. This is a project they've been working on. You can create a onesie or donate it, or you can create one by yourself. Like you buy like a white onesie. You know,
onesie for those who don't have kids. I don't know why you're listening to this. You don't, but a onesie is a one-piece baby jumper that you wear when you're little.
Right.
Really little, like one year old or less.
And it snaps in the
bottom.
They're
cute. So I once gave friends, before I had kids, this was a long time, I was like 22. My dear friend, friends had a baby. And I gave them a watermelon. I didn't know what I was doing. I think it was in the New Yorker. It was a watermelon onesie with a little watermelon hat that made the kid look like a watermelon. And they couldn't believe that I gave it. I don't know if they ever used it. They probably just framed it.
I think it sounds cute.
Doesn't that sound cute?
You picked it out yourself?
Well, it was in the New Yorker, and I just ordered it. I never saw it. It might be that once you put it on, it doesn't really
make you look like a watermelon.
I don't know what. But they couldn't believe it. They said, what? Oh, and they were very sweet about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
that kid is in college now.
We should call him up and find out.
Yeah, he hates watermelon.
Yeah.
So onesies are cute. So you take a onesie.
What Moms Rising is trying to do is trying to create the longest chain of onesies in the world to represent each person who believes in a more family-friendly America. So what you can do is you can create one, you know, get with your friends and decorate them, or just donate to the project, donate money to the project so they can buy more onesies to act them.
How far do they want the onesies chain to go?
I think they want to get in the Guinness Book of World Records. And basically what they want to do is hang it up, you know, in front of places where people make decisions, you know, in D.C. and other places, and just say, this is how many moms care about, you know, how many families care about getting family leave when they have a child, or, you know, getting better health care for people. And it's just, it's fascinating.
That's
it's like the AIDS quilt, kind of, you know, just like just show this is how many voices that you need to listen to.
It's like that bumper sticker that when kids get as much money as they need and the Pentagon has to have a bake sale, then all will be right with the world.
Exactly.
And Vladimir Putin will be president of the United States. But that's another matter. No, that's neat. I think that's really great. I mean, it's funny. You wouldn't think you'd have to say family-friendly America. You'd think America is family-friendly.
Right.
But there are some things that we like, paid leave. And
right. I mean, family-friendly means different things to different people. But I think...
More money for education, all of those things.
Right. Check out momsrising.org. We'll
Bridge
talk
to
more
nowhere.
About it. In a few weeks.
That's good for the families that live on the other side of the Bridge to Nowhere. That's family friendly for some.
I don't know what the Bridge to Nowhere is.
It's a very famous bridge in Alaska that Ted Stevens wanted to build.
Oh.
It's a very expensive bridge that really didn't go anywhere.
Huh.
Well, there were some people on the other side. Just a few. I don't know. I'm getting it. You know why I'm getting it? Because Joan Blades is very political. And so everything she does is somewhat political. But I can't wait to talk to her next week.
That's going to be
interesting.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So I think we should do our Audible book pick, and then I think we should talk to Mike Adamek, who is waiting for us.
Let's do it.
And then after we talk to him, then we can do some links.
Okay. And our Audible book pick is something my wife picked.
Yes. This is called True Notebooks, and it's by Mark Saltzman. This is an excellent book. It's for adults, not for kids. And it is a memoir of a writer, Mark Saltzman. I think he's won a lot of awards. He's a great writer, great novelist. And he went and spent a year in the juvenile hall teaching a writing class.
Wow.
And this is his memoir of that time. And it's fascinating. I mean, these kids, their stories are amazing. And, you know, they're kind of a forgotten group. You don't right. think too much about them. And it's really fascinating. And it really makes you ask a lot of questions, like, why did he choose to do this? Why right. didn't he choose to go, you know, to teach writing to someone who hadn't committed a crime, right. for example? Right.
Who better to teach to write than kids in that situation?
Yeah, I mean, they have good stories to tell. Yeah. And I just love this book and definitely wanted to recommend it. And it's on Audible.
Does it feature some of their writing as well?
I mean, uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
It does. Yeah, and I believe this
many of them charged with murder, it says.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
So Jennifer, Leo's wife, actually recommended this to me, and I recommended it to my husband. And then last year, Abby's read it too, because their whole school read it. It was like one school, one book thing where tell everyone in the school to read it and they all read it.
Oh, isn't that a nice idea? And what a good book for them. And, she goes to a school with a lot of privileged kids mm-hmm. in it. So it's kind of a great thing for them to have that experience as well of other kids in other situations. You're not alone because it's got one of the highest customer ratings I've seen on Audible.com. Really? 4.38 stars out of 5, which is very, very high. Unabridged, it's a 9 hours and 48 minutes, and it could be your free book. Now, somebody wrote me and said, I understand if you're not an Audible subscriber, you get a free book every week. No, you get one free book. He's a subscriber. He said, what do you got for us? We just get to be Audible subscribers, but this is a way of introducing people to Audible. So if you go to audible.com/monkeys, and you join up, you'll get a credit toward a free book. It could be True Notebooks or any other book that Audible sells. Also have to make another correction. I've been talking about the My Next Listen, which I love, and it turns out that's only for people who have legacy subscriptions. And the reason is that we were in the situation where you had to use your credits every month, and so they have this My Next Listen so that you don't waste credits. You automatically get a book when your time, but they don't do that anymore, so you don't need My Next Listen. Although a number of people have said we'd like it anyway. It's kind of like a Netflix queue.
Right.
And so Audible said, well, you know what? Maybe we will implement this for everybody. Company-wide. It's a nice feature, but Audible is just a great experience. If you like podcasts, if you like listening, if you like books, I can't recommend it more highly. I've been a member for years. It saved my life on many a commute and a long family drive. Audible.com/monkeys. Our book of the week this week, True Notebooks from Mark Saltzman. And we do thank Audible so much for their support of Jumping Monkeys. We appreciate that. Moving right along. Should we call Mike Adamek here?
Yes, we should.
We should. He's been waiting for us. All right.
All right. Well, today we're going to be talking to Mike Adamek, who we've been pronouncing his name wrong, but we'll, of course, go back and edit that out. And he is a freelance writer, writes for the San Francisco Chronicle, does segments on NPR, MSNBC, and writes for Babbel, and also has his own weblog, which is hilarious, Cry It Out, the memoir of a state. At home dad, and we're really excited to talk to him today. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing good.
It's kind of embarrassing to have someone read back one's resume.
It's a good resume. I would be embarrassed.
You're like, yeah, did I really do that?
I know. I sound a little more important than I think I am.
Did you start as a print writer?
I did. I started on a really small newspaper in a town called Vacaville, which is Cowtown translated into English.
Oh, that's right.
That's
I never thought of that. Wow.
Yeah, so a print writer at a small newspaper, and just kept going from there.
Did you move up through the markets to get to a bigger markets?
Or? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like it's the same as in radio where you start at a small market and you
really
work your way
small
up.
With the county fair coverage.
Yes. You go do the weekends at the carpet store.
Exactly.
I'm down here. Come on down. Say hi. Bring the pink slip. Bring the wife. Bring the kids. And that sounds like a joke, but it's really true. You do that.
And that's after 10 years of waddling off air to answering phone calls, I imagine.
So awful.
Yes.
Paying the dues.
Yes.
But now you're smart because now you've really diversified, including online writing and books.
Yeah, yeah. The online writing has been so great. The blogging. It's just been one of the best things I think I've ever done. I've met so many nice people through it. And that's actually amazing. I didn't think that would happen. I just thought, oh, it's a great little online diary to keep track of my adventures as a stay-at-home dad. And then all of a sudden I started meeting these real people offline. And it's just been amazing. I mean, after a year or I guess maybe two,
We've talked to mommy bloggers, and I always kind of don't like that. It sounds diminutive, but you're a daddy blogger, one of the few, I guess.
Yeah, I would think that, but there's a lot out there.
We've actually talked to a few of them, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it's kind of a diminutive to say you're a daddy blogger?
No, I don't care.
You don't mind.
That's probably the best thing people have called me.
So, did you have a full-time, were you freelancing when your daughter was born?
I was a reporter when she was born, and my wife took a long maternity leave, and so I was still working as a full-time reporter. And then when my wife went back to work, I quit reporting and just stayed home. And then I didn't really do much freelancing until recently, just because, you know, you think you're going to have all this free time. Yay, I'm staying home. I'll be able to do everything.
Ha, ha.
Yeah, and then you have a kid, and you're like,
No free time. Yeah.
Exactly.
So you were the primary caretaker then?
Yeah, I am.
That's neat.
Yeah,
it's really great. I'm kind of jealous as a father of two kids that I didn't get to do that. Although, the times I've tried, I've gone out of my skull.
It definitely takes a while to get used to.
How do you deal with the lack of contact with adults and just kind of this feeling like that this is this endless treadmill of work?
You know, I really felt like that in the beginning. Just kind of, oh my gosh, it's endless and kind of home alone and lonely and gosh, who can I talk to? But I think that eventually goes away. The kid starts doing more stuff. You start meeting people at the playground. I met people through blogging. So I've actually found this neat little network of friends. So things are actually going a lot better than they were in the beginning. I mean, I'm having a great time. And I was telling my wife, we're having this constant battle over preschool, over signing up and trying to find a preschool in San Francisco that doesn't cost a kidney.
You're supposed to sign up when she's born, not now. Why'd you wait? My God.
During conception, I think, is what they're telling people now. But I just want to keep her preschool and keep her home as long as possible because we're having a fantastic time.
Oh, that's such a neat story. I guess it's just it's funny because I wouldn't ask this of a woman, but I'm asking it of a guy. I don't know why I wouldn't ask.
Are you having a great time at home? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it just doesn't seem like we're biologically made to do this, and I'd see that's very sexist to me to assume that a woman. Well, she's built to do this, but I know it drove my wife crazy. I mean, it was very difficult to do. You think they are?
Going crazy?
No, built to do this hard work?
Oh, boy. Sticky subject. I don't know. I know that I like it a lot.
When did you start the blog? At the beginning? Or?
You know, I had a blog kind of documenting kind of our engagement process and our wedding process and kind of leading up. Oh, God, that sounds really romantic. Our wedding process. Kind of documenting our journey to getting married. And then we had a kid, and you know the blog was still up with all this wedding, all these wedding stories, and I just kind of changed it over. I think right after Emmeline was born, and just really started documenting, you know, what it was like to have this kid, knowing that I was going to be staying home with her eventually, and then eventually staying home. I thought that was kind of a neat story to tell because, you know, in the grand scheme of things, there's not that many stay-at-home dads in America, just an extra perspective on it or an added perspective on it.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I mean, I think there are a lot, but there aren't a lot of voices of stay-at-home dads. So I know I get a lot of email from people who listen to the podcast who say, you know, I'm a stay-at-home dad, but no one's really speaking for them. I mean, there are a lot of daddy bloggers, but you know, there are a lot of blogs. It's hard to find yours has certainly risen to the top, I think, because you're a great writer.
And it's got a great name. Cry it out. You can't. I mean, that's such a good name.
I like that. It's pretty much true some days.
So now, have you met people from the blog that you go and, like, go on play dates with and meet in the park, that kind of thing? Or just people you didn't really?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I'm kind of lost track of my dates here. I think it was two nights ago I met up with another stay-at-home dad that I met through blogging. And we've become fast friends, actually.
Oh, that's neat.
We've gone out a couple times. His wife wants more time in the evening to hang out with their kid, kind of, you know, just alone bonding time. And so he's kicked out of the house once a week, and we just go out to a bar or go bowling on Tuesday. I think we went to a blues place down in Redwood City and met up with two other bloggers that I blog with for a different website. So all these people are coming together through the internet. I think it's kind of neat.
Is there a certain kind of person that blogs? Is that why?
I guess we're meeting up with other parents, and that's probably the
connector. It's more the parents, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I blog with them, so we kind of chat via email. It's the first time we've actually met with the other two bloggers, so that was really fun.
Cool. So now you also write for Babbel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where they're from Babbel.
I thought everyone from Babbel but you was from New York City.
I know, huh? No, there's a whole cadre of us out here in the Bay Area, all on the peninsula, actually.
Oh, that's nice, Danine.
Yeah, four or five of us, actually, in the Bay Area. I hope I'm not forgetting anyone. They'll kill me.
What is? I'm sorry. We talked about Babbel.
It's the site for urban parents.
That's right.
You could talk a little more about it, Mike.
Yeah, they call it, there's the, I don't know if you've heard of the website nerve.com, the kind of literary sex site out of New York, which is just fantastic. It has all sorts of great writers. Well, they started a parenting offshoot called babble.com.
Figures.
Yeah, exactly.
Next they'll do nursing homes. It'll be this whole cycle of life.
Just keep falling as we age.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really good idea. Maybe I'll give it a call.
Not yet. Patience, not yet. It's not, the time's not right.
I know, hopefully not.
Next will be teenagedriving.com.
Oh, that's
crazy.
Yeah, people say stuff like that now.
Ooh, you don't want to think about it.
Exactly. I've got this sweet 16-month-old, and we just walk around and have a great time. I can't imagine getting behind the wheel with her.
So sweet. What do you write that's different in your blog? How's your blog different from what you write for Babbel?
Babbel, I think they want a lot of kind of opinions on parenting pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something that's in the news, like the Mattel, you know, baby lead recall toys, you know, don't touch the train set, and just kind of offer a hip, unique, funny spin on that. There's a lot of parenting sites that you can go to that, you know, they give you fun advice, or neat advice. It's not necessarily fun. It's just kind of, you know, nuts and bolts parenting advice. And I think we try to be a little... not necessarily more caustic, but certainly more funny.
Yeah.
Because parenting is definitely, if you're serious all the time, I don't know how you'd survive.
Right.
So we try to offer that outlet, I think, for people just to have that respite during the middle of the day or nap time or late at night when the kid has finally, thank God, gone to bed. They can read something that's funny.
Yeah.
So I think that's what we're going for.
One of the things I really like about your blog is you really, I mean, you obviously get out in the city with your daughter and really do things, and you describe like great child-friendly activities. I know you, did you go out and take her to the iPhone line? I saw pictures of her like salivating at the Apple Store window or something.
Well, she really wanted one. She kept saying iPhone, iPhone, iPhone.
Oh my goodness. Apple's marketing's better than I thought.
Exactly.
And how, is she two?
No, she's 16 months.
Oh, okay. Unbelievable.
That was all me. The poor child was dragged around so I can go just look at the
phone. Daddy wants an iPhone.
Exactly.
I like the pictures of her riding in the bus, you know. I mean, I think if you're going to have a kid in an urban setting, that's what you should do. I mean, that's the whole point of being in the city is having those experiences.
And stuff like that is fun for kids, I think, no matter where they are. I mean, she sees the train or the cable cars and just goes ballistic.
Yeah.
The train, choo-choo. I mean, that's one of her first words is choo-choo.
Yeah, that's neat.
And I think any kid, no matter where they are, is going to see a train, you know, going down the
that's
street.
That's pretty exciting.
Think, sweet.
Yeah.
Or even a bus. I think a lot of suburban kids probably don't get a chance to go on a bus, but even just looking at one, I think is, you know, maybe it's just my kid's weird. I don't know.
No.
He seems to like the giant wheeled objects.
Yeah. No, my kids love going to San Francisco. Mm-hmm. My daughter thinks the Transamerica building is a princess castle.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's a good description. Well, right now, we're just calling it the pyramid.
You have it as it's the view out your window, so that's kind of special.
Well, it's somewhat close to the window. That's,
all right.
I took her up to, that's the Hotel Mandarin Oriental.
Oh, okay. I thought you lived in the Mandarin Hotel. I'm sorry.
Oh, I wish.
I didn't realize. It says it's good to be home. I guess I misunderstood.
In San Francisco.
Yeah.
In the city.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, now lots of people have this impression of us living in a high rise.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I just went down to meet my wife for work, which we try to do frequently, at least once or twice a week, just so she can have some lunchtime with the kid and have some fun. We go try to find a park and get some sandwiches or burritos and just go hang out downtown, which I don't see a lot of with, you know, young families down there just kind of hanging out. Maybe occasionally I'll see one in a restaurant, but it's great fun to bring the kid downtown, see all the buildings, all the pigeons. She loves those. And then, you know, get to hang out with mom for a little bit, too, during the middle of the day. It's kind of nice.
Does your wife get jealous of all the time you have with Emmeline?
You know, I think she used to, but not anymore. I think we've kind of fell into a routine of, you know, this is kind of how it is.
It sounds like it's working for you.
Yeah, plus I've stopped calling her from the beach and saying, hey, it's great out here.
You learn that.
Yeah.
You learn that one.
Exactly.
So do relatives and friends give you a hard time? Like, you know, when are you going to get back to work? That kind of thing.
No, I get it. It's weird. I don't really get much of that. I get a lot of jealousy from, I think, former coworkers I run into. Oh, geez. Wow. I want to do that. You know, but I think some of them are childless and really have no idea
how hard it is.
It's very easy to say, I want to do that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Until you do it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But no, I don't get much of the hard time stuff. I think it's you know, especially in the San Francisco Bay Area, everyone's pretty progressive, saying, great.
Well, you've also found, I mean, you really work hard. I mean, you've got your blog, you write for Babbel. You also write a blog for the San Francisco Chronicle called The Poop, which is a great name.
Yeah, I love that.
So you must be writing a lot of time.
Well, she
sleeps a lot.
She does sleep a lot, and I just jinxed it. She's going down for a nap. My wife took the day off, the afternoon off. We went and had lunch today, and then she just came home with us, and hopefully
nice.
She's sleeping right now. But I just use as much nap time as possible to write as much as possible, just because it's fun for me. Plus, some of them I get paid for, so
right.
that.
But that also probably solves that issue of feeling like you become a baby care machine. You have now some adult activities that you can do while you're at home.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. It's been nice to be able to at least email people and have some type of adult conversation at
right.
least once a day.
Right.
That's
right.
nice.
So what are some of the websites that you read?
I try to stay in touch with a lot of other stay-at-home dads. There's my good friend Graham, or I shouldn't say his name. He goes by the website name doDaddy.net.
I like it.
D-O-O or D-O?
Exactly, D-O-O, and then daddy.net.
Gives it a whole new meaning.
Exactly. Well, it's basically do.
Do, daddy, do.
Exactly. So he's actually the friend that I went out with a few days ago, and we've gone out a few times.
He writes about you going out with him. So
exactly.
That's very incestuous. That's
Do you great. Ask each other's permission to talk about it on the blog?
No, I think we just kind of assume that one of us
hey,
is going to say something.
It's all blog posts. Yeah, yeah. All of life is a blog post.
Exactly. We're always on the record.
Yeah.
But that's fine.
You get used to that at conferences now. In fact, people have started to say,
God.
You may not blog this. Seriously. I mean, it's become, you know, this is off the record and off the blog. You can't write about it. Yeah. I hear that all the time now.
That's right, because normally they would just say, we're off the record now.
But yeah, but bloggers aren't journalists. Or a lot of them aren't journalists and don't know that means you can't write about it.
Right.
They think, oh, this is good. This is juicy.
Yeah.
I'll be writing about that.
Exactly. Ooh, this is wonderful.
Ooh, no one else can write about it.
Yeah. I would imagine some, even if they hear you can't blog, they're like, yeah, watch me.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, that's I guess, what mainstream, one of the many gripes mainstream media has about bloggers is that you kids don't follow the rules.
Exactly.
We got rules here. We've been doing this a lot longer than you. Follow our rules.
We make our own rules.
You've
we
got
do.
A foot in both worlds. Do you, where do you come down on that side? I mean, are you more a blogger or more a mainstream media guy?
You know, that's a really tough question because I think anyone that's like has their blog would be considered a writer in the medium.
Ultimately,
through the blog.
That's what you are ultimately, and it is, you're right, it's an artificial distinction. Nevertheless, a distinction that's made all the time.
Often by professional journalists.
Most often by.
Yeah, and I don't really write anything super controversial anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I don't go to anything that's breaking news. I write little essays about life in the city with my daughter. I don't really have, you know, any off-the-record conversations with her.
Well, and we were talking before the show about how a lot of people who are in mainstream media are finding their jobs going away, and it's very tough, and I think they probably look at people like you and go, wow, I wish I could figure out how to do what Mike did.
Yeah, and also make some money. I wish I could figure that out, too.
Oh, that part. Oh,
that
make money at it. Oh.
Well, it's interesting because I read a lot about, I'll hear a story of this business is run by a stay-at-home dad or something like that, and it's interesting because that means who's taking care of the child if the person's actually running
you're not
a business?
Really a stay-at-home dad.
You know, I think, I mean, you're really the full-time caregiver, it seems to me. And I think that... I think a lot of people will say stay-at-home dad when someone who just has a part-time job and also stays at home, whereas with moms, you would, you know, any mom who works no
it's
longer gets
mom.
To say, stay-at-home mom, so.
You know, that's a good point. And there's some times when, when Emmeline is awake and I'm thinking, okay, don't check the email. You know, this is her time, right when she's sleeping.
You got to have some discipline to do that.
You really do, and sometimes it's really hard if I write something that I think is controversial and it goes on one of the blogs. I kind of like to see what people are saying or, you know, read my email to see what people are saying, and I just have to say no.
I have not learned that discipline, and my kids, frankly, hold it against me. They say, oh, you're always on the computer. Oh, you're always using your BlackBerry. You never pay any attention to us. And it's just
one of the things I'm trying not to run into, especially when she starts to talk. It's got to be tough, yeah.
So does she ever want to use your computer?
All the time. Yes. She's going to tear the keys off and drool on it. So
it's what Daddy's doing.
Exactly. I actually get her a little Fisher-Price computer.
So she hasn't played with the computer. There's nothing that she's done yet on the computer.
I'll blame any bad post on her.
she writes all the negatives.
That's good, yeah.
No, she hasn't really done anything yet. We're waiting for the coffee spill or the milk spill or something, but so far not yet. I mean, it's just out in the living room. She could basically run over there and tear it apart if she wants to, but
she's still little, still in a couple of years.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll be. Do you spend time with her on the computer? Do you do anything on the computer with her?
No, not really.
She's too little still, huh?
Yeah, we don't. I mean, occasionally I've let her, you know, just had the idea. Oh, let's look for monkeys on YouTube, and she'll check out the monkeys and have fun. But no, we don't really want her to watch TV or play with computer games or
good.
Anything like that yet.
Good. Yeah, she's too little.
So how do you entertain her if you don't watch TV?
I know. There's some hours.
Megan's
right?
Getting nervous. What do you do?
Look at the watch and pray for bedtime.
Nap time. Nap three for the day.
Exactly.
Yeah. My kids stopped taking naps around 3 or 4 years old, and that was a crisis.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, was that a crisis? Because that really is precious time, those hour or two in the afternoon that you get to... You know, just relax.
Decompress and prepare for the next 2 hours of waking time.
Daddy needs a nap.
Exactly. There are times when, had a whole bunch to write, and we've just gone out and had a fabulous day, and just tired from hanging out with her and playing so much that I've just said, forget it, I'm going to take a nap too. Because I want to be able to be awake and be happy when she's, you know, awake and happy.
Right. And so you've also been experimenting with sewing some of her clothes?
Yeah.
I've got to hear about this.
We have a sewing machine in the window, which has probably got to kill our landlords. They made us take down our baby gates over the windows.
What?
Yeah, they just didn't like how it looked. And so we've got this.
It looks like there's children inside.
I know. How dare there be?
And you're trying to keep them from jumping out of the windows.
I know.
Suicidal children, even worse. So the sewing machine in the window, what they thought it looked like a sweatshop was in there?
Exactly.
Oh, man.
But it's still there, and we sew clothes. Dana sews these wonderful stuffed animals. She's working on a little ballerina doll right now.
Oh, that's neat.
And then I'm working on a skirt with some skull and crossbones. So we just like to...
You just put the skull and crossbones on so you don't have to say, I'm working on a skirt.
Exactly. Although, unfortunately, it's a tiny little denim skirt, and I brought it home, and Dana said, that looks like a baby prostitute skirt.
Oh, good. That's
and then
good.
I showed her the skull and crossbones, and she said, yes, definitely.
Baby prostitute. Oh,
but it'll look
gosh.
Pretty cool, I think, when we're done.
Oh.
I'm making a skirt with a poodle on it. So you can't say that. You got
no, you really can't.
It's not. It's much more macho. Yeah. Skull and crossbones.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got a swastika on it. I think it'll look great. That just makes it macho.
Take it to our favorite place, so, the community center. That would go over well.
Did you take home ec? I mean, how do you know how to sew?
I did. No, did I? I don't think I ever took a home ec class. Maybe in middle school, but I never really learned to sew until recently.
I think that sounds like fun to make her clothes.
It is pretty fun, and it's really simple stuff. I mean, I'm not making clothes out of curtains like The Sound of Music yet, although I kind of want to. I'm just sewing patches onto t-shirts and, you know, ripping holes out of jeans and then sewing patches in the holes.
Oh, that's cool.
It's pretty simple stuff.
That's really cool.
Although I'm making this shawl out of all these little patchwork fabrics that I've had to sew into a quilt that now I need to put a pattern on and actually make the... it's like a poncho, I guess.
You must be very comfortable with your sexuality.
To talk about all this stuff, yeah.
I'm going to just, you know.
Perhaps you're uncomfortable with
uncomfortable.
Yours, Leo.
I'm getting more uncomfortable. When I'm sewing a shawl, it's something I don't expect to hear, you know.
From your average guy.
From your average guy.
It's funny, I think nothing of it. Nothing of it.
I could see that. I mean, it's completely, you know, it's just, and I admire you for that, frankly. I think that's great.
Oh, fun. Yeah.
You went to mommy's groups, Leo. You admitted that.
I did, and I was, they must have known that my hidden agenda because they threw me out. I didn't. I had a kid with me. I wasn't just I wasn't a single guy, but
like about a boy, Hugh Grant going
exactly,
to the mommy's.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. No, I went for the same reason that probably that you write and you socialize with other bloggers is because it's hard when you're just the sole caretaker for a kid. You want stuff to do, and unfortunately. I never felt really welcome in the mommy's groups. How about you? Do you go to mother's groups at all?
I do. I've got a great, fantastic Tuesday
so
group
jealous.
That I just happen to be the only guy there. And we've been going for so long, ever since Emmy was, 6 months or so,
since
we started staying home, that, you know, I'm just one of the other group attendees, and I don't think anyone really cares or thinks anything of it. I've met some great friends there, actually. And then, you know, there's a stay-at-home dance group at a playground in San Francisco on Thursdays, which I don't go to that often. I just don't find it as welcoming, frankly, as the mother's group.
Huh.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know why. I think they've got their little clique of dads.
And you don't start talking about your shawl and stuff. You don't start talking about your shawl and stuff, do you?
The mommy's group?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the daddy's
group. Maybe that was it.
I think that could be it. I don't want to say anything.
Yeah.
Hey, you're going to talk about the beer you're making in the basement. That's
exactly.
More appropriate.
My still.
Your still, yeah. Isn't that funny, though? I shouldn't say that I was thrown out, but I think I was probably oversensitive to the idea that these women wanted to get together and not have guys around doing this mommy's group. So I just never felt like I should be going to them at all. But it is important. It's fun. I used to do Jim Marie. I mean, that felt okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
You know, I think when I first started going, I definitely felt a little uncomfortable. But then after 2 or 3 weeks...
They welcomed you.
Yeah,
that's
nice. I mean, they see that you're not some weird homeless guy there to prey on the children or something.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us. It's been really fun, and I really appreciate your blog. It's hilarious. I love your writing style.
Oh, thank you. And I just heard of, is it the Mother's Click, the recent podcast? That was great. So I'm looking forward to hearing this one.
Yeah, we're having fun. This is a whole new thing for us. I mean, I usually just do geek podcasts, but, you know, iTunes just featured us as one of the top parenting podcasts and stuff.
Oh,
so it's
wow,
kind of
that's
fun.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's kind of a departure for us.
Yeah.
A sense of professionalism.
Yeah, that's right.
That's great.
Yeah.
Mike's great to meet you. Thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. Sorry again to have put this off, but I'm glad we finally were able to do it.
No, thank you guys very much. I had a great time.
Thanks.
It's great to talk to you finally.
Yeah, you. Definitely.
That's Mike Adam Ick. Mike Adam Ick.
Yes. Maybe he even told us how to
right.
say it. Yeah,
Adam Ick.
Yeah, he's great. I am really glad that we had him on because I know a lot of people who listen to the podcast are dads and stay-at-home dads. And, you know, it's been wonderful to hear mom's voices, but it's great to hear a dad's voice, too. So.
Well, and I misspoke because I said there weren't a lot of daddy blogs, but I mean, obviously there are a lot. I'm seeing more all the time. I just never was aware of them.
Yeah, probably in comparison to mommy blogs, there's not as many, but there's more and more.
Right.
And, yeah.
I think writing... Okay, I'm going to get in lots of trouble here.
I don't know that you can get in any more trouble than,
I guess
you know,
right.
the swastika comic.
I only meant... Never mind.
It was a joke.
Iron
it
Cross.
Was a joke.
I meant
He's
to
joking.
Say Iron Cross.
Yeah.
Thanks for highlighting that, though. I think it'll become now, you know, an important part of this show.
Let's not remember to edit that out.
I remember talking. No, I wanted to edit that. One thing I don't edit out is my own personal gaffes and faux pas. I leave those in because I know people come to expect them.
Yes, you wouldn't be Leo.
Someday I'll learn. I remember Tony Bennett saying, I wasn't interviewing him. I was talking to him, though, during an interview with Ron Owens on KGO. And he said, you know, for... singing is tougher for men than women. It seems to come more naturally for women. Men have to work at singing. And I almost want to say that for writing, too, especially the blogging, the very personal writing that blogging is, seems to come more naturally to women than men. Men tend to write about more distant subjects and or cover. So, you know, if they're going to write a blog, it's going to be, you know, 15, you know, kinds of clothing to buy for your kid or something like that.
No,
not
I
so
totally
personal.
Agree with you. Girls are always, they've always like written in diaries and journals more than men.
True.
It's not that different. I think it's not a surprise that Mike started out as an essayist, you know, a writer about, you know, you know, he's a reporter, but he's also writes about weddings and he writes about, you know, just personal essays, family essays. So I think it was a natural progression for him.
That's what blogging is, isn't it?
For some
people,
it's an essayist. But yeah, I mean, a lot of the bloggers on Offsprung, you know, that's the site that we talked about.
Love
them.
Offsprung.
You know,
I still read that now. That's so fun.
Yeah, they're not necessarily blog. There are a lot of just like links and little quips. They're all humor. I mean, this sometimes seems to be where men get at their feelings. Wow, this has suddenly turned into Dr. Laura or something.
I think one of the things that I like about this podcast, unlike any of the other podcasts we do, is this is one of those podcasts where you can talk about stuff like the gender differences and stuff like that. And, this is the most honest podcast.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting that you went to mom's groups. I mean, I think that was... You weren't a stay-at-home dad, but you did spend more time, home.
Yeah, when Abby was born, I was working 3 days a week.
Right.
So I was home 4 days a week.
Yeah.
And Jennifer still had some of her practice going. She eventually phased out all of her clients, and so she was a full-time parent. But for I would say, Abby's first year of life, it was really co-parenting.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great.
Yeah.
And I wish I could have done it with Henry. When Henry was born, I was just starting that whole TV thing with first... I was working at Ziff Davis. We started this, the personal computing show, then the site and all that. And that's when Henry was born. So that was a tougher time for me to take that much time off.
But when we worked at Tech TV, you never got there before like 11:30.
I made a point of being home in the morning. So
and that's huge. It's huge for a dad to be at home in the morning.
But I'd miss dinner every night, which was sad. That was a tough time for me. I felt like I missed a lot of their growing up. And it was hard for Jennifer, too, because she had to do a lot more parenting at that time. It's much better now. I mean, I set my own schedule. I'm home a lot more. It's hard for guys, though, I think. We're so career-focused. I think it's hard for us sometimes to say, I'm going to give up my career and focus on the kids. It's still in society a little bit frowned on.
It is, but it's definitely changing.
It's much better than it was.
You know, my sister was just here visiting. They're from Texas, and she said she sees many, many dads at soccer games, and they coach soccer games, and that's like 3 in the afternoon or 4 in the afternoon. And it's not that they've quit their jobs necessarily, but they're just more flexible. They can, you know, my brother-in-law can check his email later at night, like same as I do. Like, you know, it's not so necessary to be in the chair all day long, and travel is not as necessary for some jobs. And
I was growing up, the father wasn't home. Mm-hmm. You know, the father was home. And you had to kind of leave him alone. He was reading the newspaper. That's the 50s, 60s dad.
Yeah, my dad never got home till like 8:30 at night.
And that's changing, and I think that's great. I think there's no question that the more time a parent can spend with the kids, the better. Yeah. If it's both parents, all the better.
Right.
You know. So anyway, a couple more links before we wrap this up. You got cardboard children, and this is the kind of children I like.
Here's the headline I'd like to read to you. Homeowners Association calling to buy children.
We'd like to buy some more of those life-size cardboard children.
This is a link I actually found on Daddy Types, which is another daddy blog. And it's a man in Ohio who's selling life-size cardboard cutouts of children to slow speeders.
They look very realistic.
They really do. So they put these cardboard kids out by the road because
this is great.
That their kids playing so that the people will stop. It's creepy.
It's a little creepy. I'm showing pictures now of this cardboard kid.
Yeah, so that people will slow down and they get nervous. And I don't know. I think it's funny. I just kept cracking up about the calling to buy children because people want to buy them now. They're $60.
We could make them.
Yeah, you could make them.
Make a little living.
But yeah, I don't know. It's kind of...
Well, I think it's a little bad when they put them right like at the edge of the curb, like they're about to run into the street.
Right.
I'm sure it slows people down, but you could also cause accidents if people jam their brakes on.
Right. And if this caught on, I mean, then people would just become immune. What if they said, there's one of those cardboard kids again.
And it turns out to be a real kid.
Yeah. I don't know. But so if you want a cardboard kid... You can check our show notes for the link to buy them.
Do we really have a link?
I never actually did find the guy who's selling them.
Mike Wood is his name.
Mike Wood, unfortunately, is his name, which is impossible to search for.
Handmade cutout children. Yeah. Search for Mike Wood and
cardboard
children.
But I'm sure you
could
make them, giant printer. Kinko's probably could do it for you.
Yeah. I mean, look, if they can make a giant cutout of Ethan Hawke, they can make a giant cutout of a 4-year-old.
Right.
You
could just take them from like the bookstore or whatever.
I'm just going to do a Google search for Mike Wood and cardboard children.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you. See, it's all about the terms you use.
Right. No, I think I actually did search for that. But I think you can't. What I got was 5 links to this exact story.
Yeah, you're right. That's right. And and for some reason, Major League Baseball. I don't know why it's going there. Yeah, there's a lot there. Look at this. It's the same story over and over.
Yeah. Isn't that funny about the internet? It's not even like the funniest story, but everybody links to it.
Wait a minute. Now it goes to Snopes.com. Now I'm hoping that this isn't going to be disproven as a... No, it's true.
Gosh. I do serious research, Leo.
I don't. Last week we had a story about a guy who whittled his thumbs down to use his iPhone.
What?
He got special plastic surgery to make his thumbs more pointed.
And that wasn't true?
No.
No.
You think I would have thought a little bit harder... Does that pass the sniff test?
Just because you would have done it, Leo, doesn't mean
that's the problem. See, that's why. And in fact, the whole Twit panel bought it.
Really?
Because we would all have done it.
Yeah. And then you got an email, started getting emails. Like
she was a hoax. The whole thing was a hoax from day one.
You're not the first person to
fall for that. I should have known better. Well, I pride myself on my nose for news.
That's true. You always have.
That's just didn't smell quite right.
Okay, so my next link, this is a cool thing from Eric Solheim's blog.
It's
a way to entertain your kids with the car's navigation system.
Just make them look at maps.
So, yeah. This is a blog. I mean, this is a little hack that you can
do. My child's first sentence, turn back. You're going the wrong way.
Right.
Wouldn't that be good?
Yeah, it would. So you can hook it. He shows you how to hook up your TomTom or other, you know, GPS systems to your kid's DVD player just to entertain them.
He's doing it with his Nokia N95. That's pretty for the cell phone. And then he takes the video out. So he's watching it on his car dashboard, but he's got a link out of it, video out of it, going to a small DVD screen in the back seat. And the kid just watches it?
Yeah, I guess you can see where they're going, and, you know, it's cool.
Wow. You know, I have to say, have you ever driven in a Prius?
I have.
And they have that big display showing where the energy's going and all that?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I think that's dangerous because I'm driving along and I'm watching the display.
Yeah.
Oh, look, the battery now. Oh, now it's coming from.
Right.
That's dangerous.
Yeah.
So it's compelling.
That's true. Yeah.
You could show a kid that. I think they'd be interested.
I think it's weird how the Prius, you leave the car key in the, like, there's no key.
Right.
I think that's interesting.
I like that.
Yeah.
You get close and you can just open
it. Right.
It
just knows.
It knows you're there.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. I don't want my car to be smarter than I am.
It's way smarter than you are.
Yeah.
You push a button. And it goes.
I guess I do want my car to be smarter than I am.
A little bit.
Actually. But
now, I can't stop playing with this.
The make your own Jackson Pollock. This is at Manitas, MANETAS.com. This is a cool, my kids love this. I'm sure Mike's daughter would also love this when he's ready. Mike, when you're ready for your daughter to use the computer, this is a cool site. Better than YouTube Monkeys.
Many people think that Jackson Pollock's art looks like a kid did it.
Yeah. So what is it? It's just this, like, what is it? Is it Flash?
It's Flash.
Yeah. And your kid can just move the mouse around, and each time you click, it changes colors, and it's
so
really cool.
Cool.
It just is like a cool painting. And
it gives you
paint
blotches.
Yeah. And although I don't really think you need to teach a kid how to use a mouse, because they're just going to be using them for their whole lives, and they'll know. But it does kind of help you with, like, the point and click concept, which isn't necessarily that easy to understand, I think.
You know what else? It makes you appreciate Jackson Pollock, because I'm playing with it, and it looks like it could be a Jackson Pollock, but just not as good.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's got all the, you know, it's got the droplets and the splashes.
I love what you've done with the pink, Leo.
You like that?
Yeah, why did you choose blue?
It just clicked, and that's what happened.
Did you notice I was praising you in a way that you're always told to, like, praise children when they're doing artwork? Like, not to say it's pretty.
I know it gave me a real warm feeling.
Yeah, how did that make you feel when you did that? Actually, don't answer that.
I want to throw a cup at you, actually, is what I wanted. All right, moving along to Baby Splash. Oh, that's what we just did.
No, that was Make Your Own Jackson Pollock. If you didn't catch the link, it's manetas.com.
MANETAS.com.
Yeah. Okay, now, a month or so ago, we had Matt Howey on the show, and he talked about some software you can get for to keep your babies from, like, hurting the computer, just banging too much on it. And I got an email from Cindy asking about that, and so I went and looked it up, and it's called Baby Splat, and it's at syntap.com, syntap.com, and it's donationware, but, you know, you can pay for it if you want to keep using it as
Windows
a donation.
Only.
It is Windows only, yes, and I downloaded it and tried it, and it's great. It's similar to what we were just doing, but like, an actual baby can do it, so they'll bang on, you can bang on
anything
the computer.
You do on the key.
Yeah, and it just, it makes noises and sounds and big squares and
great
everything.
Idea.
Yeah.
See, this is something Mike could use.
And it can't, the difference between this and the Maker and Jackson Pollock is this doesn't, you know, whatever button you press is not going to hurt the computer.
Right.
It's not going to change your settings or email your boss and tell him you're not working or anything like that.
This Manitas guy who wrote the Jackson Pollock is interesting.
He is?
Yeah. He's a Sicilian.
Hmm. I have some Sicilian. Actually, I don't. I like to think
you
that when
look
I'm,
Sicilian.
Yeah. My kids have some Sicilian in them.
Because your husband is
right.
Marco.
Exactly.
Marco.
So, yeah. Thanks, Cindy, for catching that. We never really linked to that.
SYNTAP.com.
Yes.
Syntap.
And I will put a link in the show notes. And this next, I got an email from Daniel, who really likes the show. And he he said, and rightly so, he took a little bit of offense to when we were talking last week.
About the car seat strollers.
Yes, about how no one in Manhattan took care of the babies.
Well, that was probably a little sweet.
Yeah, but he
and by
said,
the way, Kat said that, not us.
She said it. Let's blame her.
It's her fault. We agree.
Yeah, she said that. Yeah, but what... And I actually talked to a friend of mine who lives in Manhattan, and she said that she has one of these, too, that hooks babies into the car more safely. She says, for babies under a year, the car seat strollers can be plugged into a cab in 10 seconds flat, and the seat fits on top of the restaurant high chairs.
Great.
So that was her problem. She was fine with that. But then, you know, once you're out of that into the big car seat, that's the problem. And he says a smart shopper can easily find one that crash tests as well or better using a seat belt instead of the base.
Oh.
And for toddlers, there are tons of crash-tested harnesses that get a kid secure before the cabbie hits the gas and is the perfect complement to an umbrella stroller.
Well, that's good to know. I mean, this is something you and I never have dealt with. I don't think we put the kids in a cab until they were, you know, much older.
Right. So this is just a harness, like a 5-point harness that you can put attached to the seatbelt.
Great. So, oh, that's neat.
So I hope we didn't offend too many people from Manhattan.
Well, surely, given the number of people in Manhattan, there are some people who are just throwing their kids in the back and say, hit it.
And probably in
Step
Petaluma also.
Probably everywhere you go.
Okay, this next is from Darren. He's a big fan and wanted to share some things that he used to keep his family safe. He has older kids, and he uses a Linksys router using Linksys parental controls. So he has all of his computers filtered, 5 of them. And he says, actually, Linksys no longer offers this to new subscribers. And he would think that centralized web filtering and control would be in high demand in today's multi-computer family. And he says, if I cannot renew my Netopia service next February, I'll have to check out the Astro product Leo and Steve Gibson talk about.
That's kind of high-end. I mean, D-Link has a product, iBoss, we've talked about from the Phantom Technologies folks. There are other hardware... This is what this is, hardware content filtering. And the advantage of doing it at a router is it protects the whole house instead of just one computer at a time.
Yeah.
But you know what's nice is both Vista and OS X have very good parental controls built in. And so you can, in the computer itself, in the operating system, really limit what kids can do. My favorite way to do it for younger kids is instead of trying to filter sites, is just tell them what sites they can go to.
Right.
And they can only go to those sites.
Right. The whitelist.
The whitelist instead of a blacklist. A blacklist is pretty hard to keep up to date, and there's always going to be errors in both directions. You know, these sites that they can't go to, they should be able to go to, and sites that you don't want them to go to that show up just fine.
Right.
So for younger kids, I think a whitelist, a list of sites it's okay to go to is better. Once they get to 10 and 11, then that's when it gets difficult. And my kids now are teenagers. It's kind of hard for me to filter what they do.
Right. And I think at this point, you've just taught them well, and you trust that they're not going to...
Well, I check. I verify.
Right.
I'm always looking at what they've been up to. Mm-hmm. Henry hasn't yet figured out about hiding his tracks, so his history's all there. So,
yeah.
And you know what? It's MySpace. I mean, literally, that's the only site he's going to these days. So.
Yeah.
Not that that's the safest in the world, but it's not Playboy either.
Right. And I wanted to read another email that I got from Eric, who also, he took offense to some things we said last week. One of us, who remain nameless, mentioned nursing Nazis.
Was that me?
I don't think
it was me.
I don't know who it was.
I don't think it was me.
But I don't think it was me either. And I don't think it was you either. But he says, and rightly so, that the use of the terms Nazi and Hitler cheapens the memory of the Holocaust. And I just wanted to read that because I do agree with him. And there's nothing wrong with doctors, nurses, and other healthcare workers. This is his reading from his email, who extolling the virtues of nursing. Study after study proves the benefits of nursing. New mothers should be encouraged to breastfeed.
Absolutely.
With the same vehemence, and they are discouraged from smoking, drinking, and using drugs.
I would agree with
that. It's
that
important. So,
and I would say that the opinions of some of our guests are not necessarily those of us.
Well, you know, sometimes we just get so relaxed, we forget anyone else is listening, right?
Well, but at the same time, I want guests to have their opinion. I'm not going to stop them from saying what they say.
Yeah, so. And he should have his opinion too. So if you have opinions, please, you know, we love to hear from you at megan@twit.tv. So
we love to hear from you.
Yeah.
And we love doing this show. We thank our guest, Micah Adamick. I'm going to mispronounce his name until the kingdom come. I want to apologize for everything that I said during the show today and anything I might say in the future.
Oh.
I was just watching a
You're Leo, and that's why everyone loves you. because you don't watch what you say.
I don't. You know, it's funny because I always think I have a pretty good self-censoring. For instance, you don't hear me say bad words.
I thought you were just going to say one for an example, but
no, I'm pretty good at that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yet the more abstract, advanced concepts that require a little more higher thinking before I can censor them, those come right out because my brain isn't that fast. And then after I say something like that, then I go, I probably shouldn't have said that. But you're right. I prefer to think I'm just saying I'm honest.
You are.
Look at Howard Stern. He's made a lot of money just saying whatever comes to his mind.
Right.
I don't do that.
No.
Maybe that's my fault. I don't go too far in that direction.
No.
I should pick one way or the other.
No, I like just the I like you the way you are.
Sometimes I have a crisis of confidence.
Yeah, if you like Leo just the way he is, email him and he won't read it.
You know, I read my email, but sometimes it's like so much at once that I just kind of, and I have to look away.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time I read it. I may not respond to it all. Somebody, I'm really starting to feel bad for some of the people I work with, like Dick DiBartolo on the Gizwiz. Because he started forwarding me mail, not just to me, but to... So there was an email to Cammy that I guess he figured, well, Cammy won't read it, Leo won't read it, so I'll forward it to Dick to forward to Leo to forward to Cammy. Please don't do that. Poor Dick doesn't need either of our mail. You got an email, megan@jumpingmonkeys.com.
Right. If you want to talk to Cammy or Dick DiBartolo or your children or your mom, anyone, email me and I'll find them for you.
No, don't do that.
Oh,
she's got enough to do. Believe me. Anyway, we thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate your patronage. We do invite you to listen to some of the other Twit podcasts at twit.tv. And if you enjoy the podcast, help us out. Support us because there are considerable costs to putting this thing out, believe it or not. And even though we have advertisers, the day-to-day costs are greater than the advertisers pay. And you can do that by going to the website and clicking one of those donation buttons. We do appreciate your support. We'll see you next week on another Jumping Monkey. See you, Megan.
Bye.